This oddly correctly timed Right Streaky Sanchez podcast that somehow we're doing exactly when we should be doing, even though we were planning to do it when we shouldn't be doing it. Right Streaky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where Right Streaky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged, and Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. We had planned to talk about the Raptors game last night and what trades the Sixers might make, but it does sort of appear as if the Sixers have made a big trade and the Raptors game becomes a little bit less of a point of discussion. Without further ado, here is Run the Jewels.
We are the murderous pair. There with the jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then with the hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have powder to push. Now I smoke pounds of the push. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. True runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight.
Welcome to the Right Streaky Sanchez podcast. I am Spike Eskin, along with a guy who has probably had a little more time to digest this trade than I have, as I have only been up for about 10 minutes. But it looks like the trade only happened, what, 22 minutes ago? I can't figure it out.
About Mike Levin. About 11:15 local time for me.
Wow.
Beautifully timed podcast. Could you imagine if we did this? Imagine we did this whole fucking podcast and then it happened. Like in an hour.
So we were, are the trade deadline podcasts are hard to time, right? Because they're only, if you do it before the big trade, they're only good for so long. So the strategy was, hey, I'll get up at 3 a.m. on Wednesday. We'll have plenty of time for that podcast to live before the deadline. And then we'll do another deadline one. But we're just sort of like, we're merging them all into one here. And it means we don't have to do another podcast tomorrow. So
here we go.
Incredibly timed. Incredibly timed. It's like Elton Brand was watching the Ricky Twitter, and Ricky Twitter said we were recording at 3 a.m. and he got it in just under the wire. So here we are. So the trade, as I see it, I'm trying to bring it up on the screen and make sure that I have the details correct.
Yep.
Is that the Sixers are sending Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, Landry Shamet, the Miami pick in 2021, an unprotected 2020 Sixers pick.
Not unprotected. And then, the 2020 is not unprotected.
Okay. What are the protections in the 2020 pick?
It's lottery protected. So if things entirely fall apart, then we keep the pick.
So it seems, yeah, okay. Lottery protected. So it protects for disaster that... Okay, so lottery protected 2020, and then another, and then 2 second round picks. Is that correct?
But they still have a buttload of second round picks in the future.
Right. Okay.
Four.
Oh, right. Sorry. Four. Tobias Harris, Mike Scott, who was my target all along, and Boban Marjanovic, who is really. For nothing else, the trade is worth it just to have Boban Marjanovic on the team. Let me tell you about Boban. He is better than you think he is.
He's legitimately good. Very good.
Yeah.
He might be one of the best players in the league in small spurts.
Yeah. Now, he is not particularly switchable. He is not one of those type of guys, but obviously Mike Scott is like a journeyman wing, tall wing guy. And then Tobias Harris is, not going to lie, a guy that I've made fun of a lot, has gotten better, of course, but is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year,
yeah.
I believe.
Age 26, somehow been in the league for 3 decades. Despite the fact that he's only 26.
And then Woj following it up with, it does seem like PR protection. The Sixers are budgeting to re-sign and keep a new big four, including free agents Tobias and Harris and Jimmy Butler this summer, sources tell ESPN. I guess there was some guessing that this was some sort of Jimmy Butler
hedge,
which I still think it is, actually.
I think it is to some extent. Like, hey, we have at least someone who Tobias Harris doesn't, you know, need the ball as much. A great shooter, has shot over 41% the past 2 years on high volume. Not an elite defender, but certainly like a big body and switchable one. Not going to get exposed out there. He's really good. And he's really young. The fact that the Sixers have four all-star types to some varying degree of players that are two-way players, switchable players in their 20s still is insane. It's insane. And I know that this is a lot to take in. My first reaction was concern, just like a lot of furrowed brow trying to figure it out. But like, you don't trade the unprotected Miami pick and our own pick next year, not this year. We still have our pick this coming draft, unless you plan on keeping him. And it seems like as much like homework as you can do, or as the Sixers can do on somebody of like, hey, is he going to want to stay? Is this a place where he would want to sign long-term? The Sixers have done that homework and determined that he's a guy that he wants to stay and that we will want him here.
Well, and that he is sort of a, he's not quite at his level of his career or the level of his stardom or whatever, that I think he's just going to go, you know what, I need to go where I want to win, even though they're not paying me the most. Now, here's one thing I wonder, and this is one negative thing about doing the podcast just minutes after I've woken up and the trade happened, is that can they only give that five-year thing to one of those two guys? I don't think they can give them both 5 years.
I don't know if they can all get the five, but I think there's at least a four-year max in there in some ways. I've been told to assume all of them are going to be attempted to stay. So, you know, who knows what can happen once free agency hits if players want to leave.
No, I'm just talking about I don't think they're allowed to give both guys 5 years. Like I remember this from Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio and from Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. I don't think they can both get 5 year maxes on the same team, but I'll work on it.
Yeah. But I think that at least, you know, we're still in the early reaction part of this, right. But I think the plan is to have a lineup of JJ Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid for the next couple years. We had talked about obviously losing Shamet Hurts a little bit because he was a surprise and they got him in the late first and he's a rookie and he shoots quick and he's athletic. He's more athletic than it seems. His face is similar to your face. But I had speculated that like maybe this offseason they let JJ walk and move Landry to the starting spot. And I think you could kind of, over the last couple games where JJ's been out, you can kind of see like, oh, Shamet's kind of not ready for this in a full-time role. And I was like, oh, maybe it'll take some time and blah, blah, blah. But now that Shamet's gone, JJ seemingly will be here for at least a couple more years, at least the next 2 years, I would say, after this, which is cool because he's been good and they'll have to figure out a way to pay him. But it's just still reacting in real time. But like, that's a ridiculous five-man lineup. Like, that's a ridiculous five-man lineup. Like, I was never a crazy big Tobias Harris fan. I think I always default kind of guys that aren't top tier level stars that still get the, whether it's usage or paid or whatever, I sort of like default to them as like, oh, they're Rudy Gay. Like, it's like good enough to jerk up a bunch of shots and make some things happen, but not good enough to actually win you games. And Tobias Harris is our fifth option offensively. He's like our fifth option.
He's not going to that is one thing that I mean, that, so that's a lot of it's a lot of talent offensively.
Yeah.
You were a little nice when you're talking about Tobias Harris defensively. Like he is a good enough athlete. I feel like there's some guys. He is a good enough athlete with enough size to be pretty good. He is not bad. I don't know. Like, you call them not elite. I would call them a little bit further below not elite. But, like, talking about it offensively.
I think I said not great. I didn't defer. I think he's like a, I think he's like league passable.
Sure. Yeah. So that's a lot of talent offensively, but it's also a lot of guys who are going to want shots. Do you think it's because they, we're already in a world where it looks like Butler is not getting as many shots and attempts as he wants. And now we're adding Tobias Harris, a guy who for the last several years has shot as much as he's wanted to and been pretty high usage. Is it too many guys who need shots or do you think it's all right?
Maybe. I mean, Tobias Harris has been getting 15 shots a game the past 2 years. I think it'll probably be in that ballpark, maybe like 13. So I don't think it'll be a crazy amount. I think you look around and I was going to say this before even the trade happened, but you look at Toronto and there's like, oh, there's guys that can do stuff. It's not just Mike Muscala hits a three or he's totally like lost. He has no any sort of like dexterity offensively. Like getting a couple more guys that even though you want the ball in Simmons's hands or you want the ball in Embiid's hands, or maybe you're running backup point with Jimmy, like that kind of thing. You wish you had more guys that could just make something happen. It's like, oh, Danny Green just hit a shot off the dribble. We have no one that can do that. Like those kinds of things. That's why even like during that 2 week run of Korkmaz being like a seemingly passable player, which was, I guess, maybe in November, December.
They'll be fun podcasts. Sure.
Delete them all. even in that time, I was like, oh, he can like put the ball on the deck a little bit and attack a closeout and like pass on the move. And there was like, because we had none of that of guys that could do multiple things. It was very like, this is your role and that's all. This is your role and that's all. And getting a guy like Tobias Harris, who is like, has like put a team on his back in like some, against legitimate teams. The Clippers looked good early in the season and they kind of tailed off with injuries or falling back down to earth or whatever, but he's a good player. And to make him your fourth or fifth option offensively is formidable. And, you know, we've talked a ton about the depth, and that's obviously something we'll get to in the next part of this podcast. But in a playoff series, like you're going to play guys 38, 40 minutes. And so that means most of the game, that starting five is going to be your starting five, is going to be who's out there. And there's not many teams in the East that can hang with that, if any. Toronto has switchable bodies, but like, is Ibaka going to cover like Ben Simmons or Tobias Harris? Or is he going to sit and you're going to let like make a OG Anunoby cover one of those guys and he's like still figuring it out, and Pascal Siakam, who's like very good obviously but still raw? Like I think there's a combination of like athleticism, because Tobias Harris is more athletic than a lot of the, you know, he's a vast improvement over Wilson Chandler and Mike Muscala athletically.
Well, and he's alive.
And he's alive. We will mourn the re-death of Wilson Chandler Harris. I just don't know that. I hear the immediate. My first reaction was like of a person who trusts the process and going like, oh no, the Miami pick or the Miami pick. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, so good. We had it.
Can I be honest? I am struggling to be. I'm sure it's obvious. I'm struggling to be excited about the fact that can I just get this out?
Yeah.
I'm struggling. This won't be long at all. I just want to verbalize what I'm thinking. My initial response when I looked at that was, we just gave up Shamet, which, and I have a more realistic view of than most about what Shamet is. That's where the pessimism comes in. That's when it helps, actually. But Shamet, the Miami pick, the 2020 pick, which will, you know, probably convey on a team. So that's three theoretical controllable salaries on a team that is going to have Jimmy Butler making $38 million, Tobias Harris, who's going to be making like the max before Jimmy Butler. So what, probably $30 million. Embiid making $30 million and Ben Simmons soon to be making $30 million. So like the rest of the team, because they don't have anybody on the team, is going to have to be, you know, like draft picks and free agents playing for the minimum. And I also worry that we traded all that stuff for a guy who's about to be a free agent anyway.
There's no way that they're, like, you have to assume that they're going to extend Tobias Harris. There's no way that you do all this stuff without making him offer that he's going to want to stay and he stays.
I just, like, couldn't you have just signed him?
Well, I think they want to contend this year. I think they want to do it now, and then you'd have to contend with other teams offering it rather than like him staying, which is always the preferred thing.
Right. Okay. It just it feels like a lot to me, and it feels like the final move, which is also
scary
to me, and it's also coming off. And then I'll stop, and then we'll get right into it. And then we're also coming off a game where I just watched Jimmy Butler again, and I'm like. No, absolutely not. We are not giving him 5 years, $190 million. Like, he doesn't have it. Absolutely not. And I think about that guy with another guy who wants shots, and he's gonna. So, it is cool for this year. It's gonna take a minute for them to get used to each other. Sure. Like, I sort of wonder if there's enough time by the end of the year. But it is like, I don't know. I don't know about all those guys on those deals being enough, but it seems like we traded a lot. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, like the Shamet to me, like I like Shamet. I thought he was a nice surprise, but like as much as I have talked about him seemingly like getting more active defensively and doing his best, he's so frail and just like movable that in a playoff series, I do think he would have gotten exposed. And I think Redick will as well, but at least he's a little beefier and harder to move when he wants to, you know, be physical. Shamet's, it's going to take a total transformation for him to become a useful defensive player like now and even in the future. Like, he's going to have to get there. I think he's going to be a nice player. I think he's a really nice fit next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the Clippers. I think that was a good pickup for them. But as far as we go, like, I'd rather, you know, projecting to the future, I'd rather have, I believe in Zaire and his, like, defense-first mentality around those types of players and getting, like, I think you can get shooters. You know, like, Wayne Ellington could be here tomorrow. Like, that's something where it's like, okay, fine. Like, that's easy for me. Having guys that are willing defenders and athletes that can, like, play and hang on the court and, you know, whether it's defend the point of attack or switch or whatever it is, that matters more. So that's why I like Zaire, and I think Shake is going to be in very heavily in the rotation next season. So I think out of those three, I'd still rank Shamet as the, you know, maybe not the least, my least favorite of the three of them going forward, because he has been legitimately good this season in a way the other two haven't. But I think
you had him replacing JJ Redick next year.
Yeah, I did. Well, as a guy that doesn't defend and hit shots. But right. I think you can find those types of guys. And so I hear you in the sense of like, well, couldn't they just get another guy? Couldn't they have just signed him? Whatever. But to me, it's like it's open right now. I think Toronto's really good. I think they're the best team in the East, or at least like project to be in a playoff series. I think Milwaukee's obviously very good, and the Celtics, if you know they cut Kyrie and Hayward and fire their coach, I think they could also be really good. but they, I think it is still open. Like those four teams at the top are going to like sort of savage each other, and somebody's going to come out and one of those teams is going to go to the finals. And it's been LeBron for so long that like it's exciting to think of like somebody else being it. And the Sixers are just like, look, we have Embiid. He is a top six or seven NBA player. He has had a certainly lengthy injury history that we know about. We don't know how long it's going to hold up for. I know as much as we forget about it and actually he's a normal guy, like you never know. You just never know. So like, the idea that they can say, oh, let's wait, let's hang on. They made the Jimmy Butler trade. Simmons is already this good in his second season and getting more aggressive by the day. I get just going for it and just saying like, look, we got Shamit in the late first. We can get another Shamit next year. Like, we can do it. It's fine. And yeah, the Miami pick is tough to swallow because that was like that's the crux of this deal, right? Like, that's the Clippers don't do this trade if the Miami pick's out of it, right? They don't do it.
It's the most valuable,
exactly.
Probably, yeah.
And Miami is that's a future asset that like people have been looking at, similar to the way the Lakers pick was a couple years ago. The Miami pick is far enough in advance, and Miami is still sort of a weird thing where, like, that the Miami could be like a six seed in 2021, and that pick is end up being like the 19th overall pick, or they could have shit fall apart and become a top six pick, which is, you know, what's enticing about it. But saying like, look, we're gonna maximize this value now and get Tobias Harris as our fourth star out of this. I get it, because if you wait, then, you know, say Miami this offseason signs, you know, Jimmy Butler, like somebody like that, then it's like, oh, they're going to actually be pretty good or whatever it is. Like, you never know that value. There's a chance that this is the highest value it ever is, and the future becomes clearer as Miami makes whatever moves. And if you can get that kind of guy just for dropping five spots in the draft and getting Zaire Smith instead of Mikal Bridges, like, I think all in all, like, that's a good deal. Like, it got us all the way there, saying like, we'll trade you Mikal Bridges and for Zaire Smith and most of Tobias Harris. It's like, that was a good deal then. And I think like cashing in on it now before that value depreciates, that asset depreciates, like, you know, you saw what happened with all the other assets that have depreciated for the Sixers, which have been players, Nerlens, Jahlil, now Markel, like trading it at the peak is pretty like is a new change for us, and I think it's, yeah, you know, not a bad move if you're thinking that you can contend this year, which clearly they do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is clearly we're just used to things depreciating, yeah, until we have to pay to get rid of them. Yeah. So it is different.
Trading Tobias Harris for Trevor Booker in an off season and a half.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. Trade everyone right now. Take a break from the podcast to talk about our sponsor, who's probably, I would love to get his analysis of it. That is Adam Kornblau. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. This is a deal that is so good, it seems like a deal that Kornblau may have helped Elton Brand negotiate. Adam Kornblau and Kornblau and Kornblau that's a lot of Kornblaus, is the premier boutique personal injury law firm in the Delaware Valley. You see all these commercials, you hear all these commercials for personal injury law firms, and they're like, they're yelling at you, you're not sure how honest they are. And then when you call up, they're mostly referral services. They're not even really law firms that take your business. That is different with Kornblau and Kornblau, where when you call Kornblau and Kornblau, you get a Kornblau. Maybe you'll get Adam. Maybe you'll get his mom, who's the other Kornblau. It was started as the Kornblau's, his mom and his dad. Now it's the Kornblau, Adam, and his mom. And then the rest of the place is just swarming with Kornblaus under the desk, in the garages, sweeping up at the end of the night when they're done doing all of their work, is swarming with Kornblaus of all different sizes, races, and ages. Yeah. So any kind of personal injury you might need, they specialize in medical malpractice, but slip and fall, injured at work, whatever it is. We've had several people email us about what great, awesome personal service they have gotten from Adam Kornblau. No suit is too big and no person is too small to go to Kornblau and Kornblau. If you think you have a case, give them a call or shoot them an email. It doesn't cost you anything. 215-576-7200. Ask for Adam or email Kornblau at Kornblau. Email Kornblau at kornblauandkornblau.com. Kornblau is spelled with a K, and the and is spelled out A-N-D. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. Let's break this down here. All right. Let's talk about this year. Let's talk about how it affects this year. Yes. Let's talk about how it affects the future.
Yes.
And then maybe at the end, once I've digested it again, sort of like talk about the value in the trade. So this year, obviously it makes them better. I mean, if you taking out the, I mean, they are one, no, I guess they're equal amount of rotation players. So they send Shamet, Muscala, and Chandler out, and they get back Marjanovic, Tobias Harris, and Mike Scott.
Yeah.
Obvious upgrade this year in that they get another all-star level player in Tobias Harris. Mike Scott is certainly a rotation four. And then Marjanovic does solve their backup center problem. It doesn't solve the other team's going small backup center problem, but who has problems, you know, besides the Warriors, who is solving that problem two different ways.
Right. I think that they sort of have versatility in the backup center where they have Bolden if you want somebody that can sort of switch all over the place and move around and be athletic, and then you have Boban. And I think there's a world where you try to play them at the same time and feel it out. I'm sure Brett's going to work around with rotations all the time. But I do think, like, you know, the backup center position has been somewhat of a concern ever since Embiid played his first game here. Like, how can you replicate the level of production that you get from Embiid? And just deciding to get, like, Andre the Giant, saying, like, okay, Embiid's sitting. Okay, we have to deal with, like, what is it? Who is it? Like, Amir Johnson? Maybe it's Jonah Bolden. He's in his care. Like, them watching fucking Boban march on over to the scorer's table and being like, nah, Boban, check in. Like, it is, yeah. I think it's, you know, daunting for the opposing team. Obviously, there's times when Boban just won't be able to play because they'll just, you know, call a pick and roll and switch on to him. I'm sure Boban will probably just drop in the pick and roll the way Embiid does a lot of the time to protect the rim and just get rebounds and just generally terrorize villagers. So they do have now that level of stability plus the bonus of an up and coming Jonah Bolden if they need to, you know, change course basically. Muscala thing is because their salaries are pretty similar. Mm-hmm. So that was clearly a thing that the Sixers asked for. Like, we'd rather have Mike Scott, who we believe can be a little bit more dynamic offensively. He can dribble a little more than Muscala can.
He has a ton of tattoos, and we're losing all those Wilson Chandler tattoos.
That's true. That's a nice player for player swap. And in Trade Machine, there's a little index
tattoo
where you have to swap the same amount of tattoos, otherwise the trade won't work.
And he is just under contract for this year.
Yes, all three of those guys are just under contract for this year.
Right.
So odds are Boban walks. And he takes big steps, so he walks pretty fast. And odds are Mike Scott walks as well. But getting Mike Scott for this year and saying, like, hey, we're going to be confident enough in you as, like, the maybe as of right now first wing off the bench, but probably in the future, hopefully after buyout and whatever next trade they make for Fultz, second wing off the bench, but being able to, like, you know, rebound a little, protect the rim a little bit if you're Mike Scott, and to cover the perimeter a little bit. Like, just not be totally useless. And I think that the Muscala backup five was a nice experiment of, well, theoretically he can shoot and protect the rim, but you just saw from a practical standpoint, like, it just never came together, and he was better served as Embiid's four. And if you're going to have him as Embiid's four, you may as well have somebody who can do a little bit more also. And I think this is a clear upgrade from Chandler was good, but doing Muscala and Chandler for Boban and Mike Scott, I think is a broad improvement, especially when you add Tobias Harris in there.
Well, it's important to note too, there is that gif of Embiid and Boban where Embiid is looking at Boban and cannot believe he exists in the real world.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think for a team that we're saying, like, oh, they don't have much joy and much anymore, Landry Shamet's the dullest person in the world. Wilson Chandler seemed like a nice guy for a dead man, and they seem to like him. And Mike Muscala also, like, very dull and boring, but also seemed to be reasonably well-liked. Changing that to get Boban in here is really just like a large mountainous ray of sunshine. He's like, I mean, he's like he's like walking climate change. Like, he's just a very odd persona impressions.
What does that even mean?
I mean, just like totally, just like affects everything around him. So I think it's going to make the team even that much more enjoyable, which is a nice change.
You just gave him a nickname too.
Walking climate change. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what the Sixers digital team does with Boban. That's a nice addition, just for the people on Sixers Twitter.
Would you say that Republicans still don't believe we have a backup center then?
I think you can probably safely say that, yeah.
Okay, so do you... I still think Mike Scott is more wingy than Biggie. I don't think he's protecting any rim.
You're right. I mean, just in the sense of like he's a strong body in a way that like I never trusted Muscala underneath. Yeah, he's closer to Chandler, and I think more athletic than Chandler. Is he younger than Chandler? No, he's about the same.
Maybe by a little year bit. Or two.
He's 30. Yeah. Chandler is probably, 31 or 32.
I thought Chandler was 33 or 34. I don't know. But
he was 108.
Do you keep aging after you die? Yeah. Okay. So do you think that, obviously, if they had just added Mike Scott and Boban, we would have been like, oh, like, good. You know, like, there, fills out the rotation, so on and so forth. Do you think there's enough time left in the year to integrate what they have to do with Tobias Harris to make the upside of what they have to do for this year alone higher than what it was if they had just added rotation guys? Because I do think that it's going to be a little bit harder than they think. Or do you think this puts them in the East this year alone?
I don't know. I don't know how hard it's going to be. I think there's enough time. There's still like 30 some games. And then the first round series over Stan Van Gundy's Pistons. I mean, to some extent, this year has been like a totally influx year from the beginning. Like there was Markel was starting and then Markel was on the bench and JJ was back in there and then they made the Jimmy trade and it's been like kind of chaotic for like about a week and a half. There was no chaos and it was, oh, the Sixers are just winning games and they beat the Warriors and that's really cool. Like it's going to be good. And then they lost a couple games and you're like, oh, they're still missing. Like if they miss JJ this bad, like maybe this just isn't the year. They're not quite there yet. Or we'll see what they can get for Fultz. But I wasn't expecting them to get a trade piece of like this magnitude. And so I think to some extent Brett's just been like juggling all season long. And once they get probably one more trade before the deadline, I'm anticipating a Fultz trade or some combination of like Fultz, Justin Patton, Korkmaz, whatever, something in there. And then a buyout candidate or two. Like it'll be pretty solidified for 2 months. And the Sixers have, after this stretch, like a relatively easy schedule the rest of the way. So they will be able to like take time to work them in. I think it, anytime you acquire somebody midseason, it takes time. So we'll see if they can feel confident and together by the playoffs. But there's just a lot. I mean, most of it is just having a bunch of good players and the Sixers not having any liabilities offensively. Like you saw tonight it's still tonight where I am currently. But in the Raptors game, like Muscala had Lowry on him and like there was just like he wasn't doing anything with him. He was doing nothing at all. And we've seen, you know, Wilson Chandler get, you know, switched on to by smaller guys and he sometimes takes him into the post but really doesn't do much with him. Now that like there's no bad defender that you can hide onto a Sixers offensive player when it's that starting five. Like, good luck trying to chase JJ around screens. Tobias Harris can cook anybody. He's basically like he's got some DeRozan to him, but I think he'll probably like be out on the perimeter. He's got like a better Marcus Morris kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, he's also, I mean, there's Melo there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't want to hear that, but that's
like,
the...
But good Melo, like passing Melo, not like Melo realizing that he's Tobias Harris, though, I think is not a bad fourth or fifth option on this team. So,
I would say that like the pluses is that he's certainly not a ball hog, ball stopper like Melo was. Not as big a body, I guess.
Strong, like definitely is,
but strong, strong dude. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think like optimally, I think this does obviously give them the best starting five in the East. I think you may have been able to argue they already had it, I think. But certainly that starting five is deeper top to bottom. And if it were, if it is to integrate quickly, I think like they are certainly like the East favorites. I mean, they have to be, I think.
I think we'll see how the rest of the deadline goes and then, right. And then what the buyout market looks like. And I think that should all be sorted out in the next like 3 or 4 days, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so we would agree. I mean, let's look around the East End and see what everybody can do, right? So we would agree that Boston, unless they do your plan of trading Kyrie for AD, which seems unlikely.
Probably not.
They're probably not trading anything of value before the deadline. That would be my guess,
yeah.
Is that they hold on to everything. So Boston is standing pretty pat. You wonder what Toronto could do. Now, I don't know who is out there that they can trade for, unless they trade for Anthony Davis or something, that makes them substantially better of all the people we've heard about. Is there anybody is there anything going through your mind that you can think of that might be that thing?
I think there's a world where, you know, we can talk about like what the Clippers position themselves to maybe make a play for Anthony Davis if they throw like, you know, all their assets together, because they have a bunch from the Blake Griffin mm-hmm. trade as well. But I think there's a world where Toronto and or Milwaukee make a real play for AD for sure. And maybe
if
they're being rash, like now looking at the Sixers and going like, fuck, like we need to, this isn't good enough now that we just have these guys.
Well, there's really no way. I've looked at it like three ways. There's no way Milwaukee can trade for AD. They don't have anything. Everybody's an unrestricted free agent, and restricted. There's no way they are trading, like, even the package we know is available, there's no way they're trading it for an unrestricted Chris Middleton or who cares about Malcolm Brogdon in an AD trade or Eric Bledsoe. I don't think a Milwaukee trade exists for AD. I don't think that could happen.
Probably not.
Maybe Toronto, but definitely not Milwaukee. So, we'll see in a day, but I think this has to, they have to look at this as, to your point, why they did it now and didn't just sign Tobias Harris. They have to be looking this year as this is one year that we can go to the finals. They have to believe this makes them the favorite in the East to go to the finals.
Yeah.
They have to this year. They have to.
I think they should. I agree that that's the case. I think, you know, the team's been up and down as far as the year's gone. I think, we both agree that Simmons and Embiid have gotten better, which is exciting in its own right. And then the Jimmy acquisition has been probably more lows than highs right now, but you get him for the playoffs and let's see. I haven't wanted to trade him at the deadline. I've soured on him a little bit in terms of just like, you know, is his athleticism as much as it used to be? And like, he does a lot of dribbling into pick and rolls and then like kind of just dribbling around. But I still believe in him as a real dog in the playoffs, and I think that as far as like a wing who can create, that is, he's near the top, not the top, but like in that second tier of like guys. But like, that's the thing, is that all of everybody's weaknesses, which there aren't a ton, are really made up for by just the sheer amount of really good players that are on the Sixers now. So like in the past, you could, if Simmons drives, you know, your Wilson Chandler's guy, your Mike Muscala's guy, you can rotate over and try to like make a tough run him. You can double Embiid because, you know, do you really, how much do you really worry about like Wilson Chandler banging threes or whatever it is? Now that it's Tobias Harris, like you got to think twice, and it's going to be a lot of more one-on-one matchups, and we have dynamic playmakers from top to bottom of this lineup that can really make you pay. And I think that, you know, making defenses stay home on covering Embiid or Simmons or Redick, like how easy is an Embiid Redick dribble handoff going to be now that you know,
yeah, there's space around
there's space around them and dynamic playmakers like left and right. So I think it's really hard to cover. Defense was the problem tonight. I think they just I don't even want to talk about the Toronto game. They just hit shots. Fucking Serge Ibaka has never missed a goddamn shot in his life. I don't care. That was an old team. We don't talk about that team anymore.
That is not what happened.
That's exactly what happened. And yeah, I think this year they have to be the favorites, and that's really fucking exciting. And then we have to see how they look first, and it's going to take a couple weeks, and it's probably going to be ugly for a little bit, and they're like stilted, and especially if the buyout market takes a little longer than they expected, or the trade doesn't materialize, then you're going to be seeing like a lot of Korkmaz over the next couple games at least. And it maybe doesn't look as good, but I think at the end of the day, you get to the playoffs. Hopefully those four teams advance to the second round, and whatever the combination is, I think you got to feel good about the Sixers starting five against the other one. And so say the Sixers come out on top and it's Sixers Warriors in the finals, like another team that lacks depth, and we'll see if they get a couple buyout guys on their own. I think they will. Like, those starting fives match up really interestingly against each other. And they have a shot. Like, I don't know. I mean, the Warriors are obviously very good and very dynamic and have more shooting. But like, you saw the Warriors game is because we were bigger and physically imposing and they just couldn't hang. And I think that the reason that one reason that we lost tonight was because we weren't getting to those loose balls. We weren't as big as them. We weren't matching up physically. You get fucking Tobias Harris and Boban in there, like, you're going to physically beat some people up. It's exciting to think about.
It does seem like Tobias Harris and Boban are like friends. Yeah. And there's a video on the internet of Tobias Harris showing Boban how to dance. Have you seen this?
Yeah. I think you can throw TJ in there. It's going to fit like a glove. Haywood Highsmith will probably develop a personality now because we'll need him.
Well, I'm not sure he's a real person.
He flexed on the bench tonight.
I saw him play, but I'm still not sure he's entirely a real person yet. That remains to be seen. So it is nice to know. Also, it does seem like TJ is going to survive the trade deadline, which is good. We do need Dario to survive the trade deadline in Minnesota for the trip. It's very important.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw that he's available.
Fuck, that's true.
So, yeah. All right. So we're going to get to the future in 1 second after this year, after we talk about our other sponsor for this podcast, LL Pavorsky Jewelers. I am one of the things that went through my mind when I found out about the trade is, what does LL, the original sponsor of the Right to Ricky Sanchez, think about? He has to love Boban. I actually found out about the trade after I woke up and I was peeing. I looked at my text messages and our friend Zainab texted me. This is how I found out about the trade. I'm working on a Tobias Harris and Boban graphic right now. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, LL has sold nearly 120 Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners engagement rings. He is a jeweler that has been in the same spot on Walnut Street for 30 years, has been with the Ricky for 3 years, has sponsored and been at all of our events, has given away engagement rings to our listeners to get married in front of people, and has become just a trusted disciple, I don't know, he's like the godfather of all of us, I would say. Like, LL is like our cool uncle who overdresses for every occasion. If you need an engagement ring and you go to anybody but LL, you're a moron. He's going to give you the best deal. He is going to take the most time with you. He's not going to pressure you at all, and he's going to give you a great ring. And then you're going to have a jeweler for the rest of your life, and a friend, and somebody who just won't let the Rashawn Holmes thing go. I mean, that's a great combination that you're not going to get anywhere else. If you're going to get an engagement ring for LL, Valentine's Day is a week away. Be a good time to do it. Give them a call, make an appointment, 215-627-2252. You can just stroll up to the store at 707 Walnut. You can email them by going to llpavorsky.com, or you can just tweet at him, @LLPavorsky. And for every podcast, LL makes generous donations to Coded by Kids and the Providence Animal Center. LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
Boban eat jewelry.
So we get through this year, and then as we mentioned, Tobias Harris is an unrestricted free agent. Boban's unrestricted free agent. Mike Scott's unrestricted. Jimmy Butler is an unrestricted free agent. And Ben Simmons will be due for his to sign his rookie extension. Now, next year, he won't be on that deal, but he'll be on that deal following that year. It ends up being... So there is a... Want to get it out there. There is obvious potential for disaster with the trade. In that, in some, there's a lot of teams with max contract slots, I think 8 or 9. There is a world in which Tobias Harris decides he doesn't want to be here and there's nothing we can do about it, and Jimmy Butler decides there's nothing, he doesn't want to be here and there's nothing we can do about it, and we are left without our best trade assets. They're gone. What do you think the realistic possibility of disaster is?
I think there's... It seems to me, and I've been assured that like Tobias is, you know, wants to be here, and that like they can make the money work with all four of them going forward.
Right.
They wouldn't have done this trade. This isn't like a haphazard trade. This isn't like a 11:59 p.m. on, I guess it's 11:59 a.m. I guess on deadline day, because the deadline's at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Eastern. What is it?
3 p.m. Eastern.
This is like they did the trade now because it's like it's done. Like we're ready to finalize it. I don't think that this was a haphazard, like we'll figure it out sort of thing. It is likely there's a chance, because Jimmy Butler is a mercurial guy, that he walks and decides to be the number one guy in Brooklyn or LA even, yeah, or wherever. Miami maybe, whatever. I think if that happens, then you say like, okay, we took a shot with Jimmy. Maybe we won a playoff round or two and it didn't work out, blah, blah, blah. We're going to sign Tobias Harris to this nice deal. He'll be our third piece. And then we'll surround these guys with like capable veterans that can do other things and blah, blah, blah. I think it's at this point, I think it's more likely that all four of them sign. Or I guess both of them sign and stay with Ben and Joe. Maybe it doesn't work out with Jimmy. Maybe the playoffs are a shit show and it just doesn't happen. But I think that the Sixers don't seem to want to say like, yes, Tobias Harris is insurance in case Jimmy Butler flames out and we hate him and everybody hates him and we want to just like cut ties forever. But that is the case. I think ideally they'd like all four to stay and feel good about like this is our big four for the next 3, 4, whatever years. But if it doesn't happen and Jimmy leaves, then like Ben, Joe, Tobias is a really nice threesome. That is the kind of thing you're looking for out. Like when people say, oh, Tobias or Ben and Joel don't really fit together, it's not perfect, they both need the ball, whatever. Tobias sort of like blends them, like is a really nice mix of a guy that like doesn't need the ball, can catch and shoot. He's a big body, can switch, can put the ball on the deck, but like just makes everybody's life easier as like a threat that the defense has to account for. So if Jimmy walks, then Jimmy walks and we figure it out from there. But I do think Tobias is here for the long term, and I think it's a good thing at his age and seemingly as a good guy that, despite the fact that he's been traded a lot, has a good reputation and keeps a Boban with him at all times. I think good.
Yeah, it. I think as far as Fultz goes, so I'm just trying to figure out like what they're doing with salary and all that kind of stuff. It does. So there was a report from Sean Devaney from Sports Illustrated that the market for Fultz was so depressed at this point that the Sixers were no longer looking for a deal, and they're going to keep him on the roster at least till the summer. It does seem though like that $10 million is going to be important, you know, yeah, for next year, in that they cannot risk that $10 million not performing for them one way or another.
Next year, they'll probably have to attach If Fultz doesn't come back this year, I mean, they might have to even attach a pick, and the options of picks that the Sixers can attach to get rid of Fultz are dwindling. So I prefer them to move on at this point and see if they can get an expiring contract and like any potentially growing young person, I would be fine with that.
Yeah. Did you see Brett Brown, Dave Urem asked Brett Brown, I think he asked him, but that's where I saw the video, about getting Markel back for the playoffs. And Brett looked at him like he was fucking insane. And he was like, hey, when was the last time we saw Markel play basketball at all? So no, I'm not counting on him being back for the playoffs. And it was definitely he's not going to play this year sort of response. So yeah I think, even though they said they're not going to trade him, I to your point, I would love for them to be able to trade him without attaching anything. And I don't see any way that his value bounces back this summer. You know, if his value is going to come back, it's not until next year and they're actually playing again. So I would get rid of him while you can, while you don't have to pay anything to get rid of him, you know?
Yeah. I'm not even in a place where I can think about the ramifications of Fultz succeeding elsewhere. But I think at this point, the Sixers have their core. They, hopefully they sign everybody to reasonable deals and the four of them can skip off into the sunset and JJ can be here on a reasonable deal for a 34-year-old and I guess 35-year-old now. Next year,
that we could have replaced with Landry Shamet.
Yeah, we could have replaced with Landry Shamet, which is fine. Yeah. And then the bench is filled with, veteran types on cheap deals, and Bolden and Zaire and Shake, and whoever they get. They have still a first round pick this year and 3 seconds this year, so that they'll be guys that can populate it. And Pasechnik is coming over any day now, probably Sue. I think that you. You look around the league and you see, some teams are doing it more with just depth all over the place. I think that's just clearly not Brett's style. I don't think he likes going to a super deep bench. I think he likes having guys that are capable, that, when guys get injured, blah, blah, blah. And he just hasn't had that. But I think his priority was give me really good players that I can win with rather than, whatever, and we can get playable rookies, as you can see with Shake in limited minutes, and obviously Landry in bigger minutes. Of these guys can hang eventually in these small roles if we surround them with, what the Warriors are doing, which is let's bring Alphonso McKinney in slowly because we can. He's just a big switchable body that we can play alongside these elite players. So I feel optimistic about the future if the Sixers just make some, continue the non-Colangelo drafting over the last this past year, which was, I think, we can all agree, a success. The 2018 draft, finding useful guys.
Yeah, you really have to look back at the draft night trade as being so important at this point. Having that Miami pick, because without it, then you're trading a. You're trading the only thing you have from that draft, which would, assuming that the Clippers would have even wanted Bridges, if that's who they took. So that trade becomes really, really, really important. The other thing that I think worries me a little bit about the trade is the Ainge thing already happened, but now we're trading with Jerry West. And that was the guy that didn't want to trade for Kevin Love and built the Warriors.
Sure. Well, I think this trade is absolutely a win for the Clippers. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because they trade three expiring contracts. They get expiring contracts back. And also a very valuable 2021 pick and a useful 2020 that they can package together in an Anthony Davis trade or in any other trade in the future. But also one thing that benefits us that we haven't talked about yet, Boston owns the Clippers pick this draft if they make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, the Clippers keep their pick and Boston doesn't get that pick. So that is nice. It's a nice byproduct of this trade that the Clippers are basically saying, we don't want to make the playoffs. We want to keep our lottery pick and we want to make sure we have two max salary spots open. They like Tobias Harris, but I think they're hunting for bigger game at this point.
Yeah. Yep.
So for the Sixers, it's for sure a risk. If Tobias Harris walks or doesn't work out or whatever it is, then they traded a couple big long-term pieces for, you know, a failed half a season. Mm-hmm. But I think they're thinking this is our fourth, maybe third star that can fit really nicely next to the two guys that are going to be here for hopefully their whole careers. And I think it's worth doing.
I think my guess would be if one guy walks, it will be Butler and not Harris. And that is if they have to make a choice there for one reason or another, that would be my preference, just because of age and cost and all of those things. I would rather have Tobias Harris on the team than Butler. So and it is the Clippers are in that free agent cap space or big trade zone where they could be looking at the guy we just saw last night in Kawhi. I mean, that could be a fit there. So yeah, hopefully it is a win for them without it being a loss for us. That's what I would hope. Sort of like the Knicks Mavericks trade, I think was a win for both sides.
With risk, you know, I think the Clippers risk is sort of similar to the Knicks in that, like, yeah, they got rid of this guy who might have walked anyway, but if they don't use the salary space that they've just opened up, then it's like, well, what was all that for? If you know, which I, as just a person watching the NBA, I'm always a little bit wary of, because, you know, the initial pick swap trade with the Kings was so that the Kings could have big time salary space to sign free agents, and they ended up getting, like, what, Wes Matthews, Kostakovas, and Rondo. Wasn't that the combination of guys they got?
Yeah.
Tobias Harris offensive numbers per Jackson Frank, who just tweeted, I think this is from Synergy. As a spot up shooter, he ranks in the 95th percentile in the league. As a pick and roll ball handler, he ranks in the 81st percentile. Isolation scorer in the 73rd percentile. Post up in the 80th percentile. Off a screen in the 79th percentile. So he's a really good offensive player. Defense, he's, I think, passable, and especially around Ben and then Jimmy, like guys that can cover the better players, he can, you know, settle on the not elite players and be fine. And also having a defensive center in Embiid to, you know, clean up all his mistakes is good. And I think he's going to be really good. I think it's playing off of a guy like Simmons is really exciting for him. And
yeah,
it'll take time. I think he's going to have to, you know, adjust, and everyone's going to have to adjust to him. But I think he's just a really interesting weapon that they just added to this team of a pure shooter that can do more things. I don't know. Maybe the six. I mean, I'd like to see what the Vegas odds change to. But, like, the idea that the Sixers could go to the NBA Finals this year is, like, dawning on me right now, and that's, I mean, shocking. I mean, this is what he did. This is what we did it for. You know, like, this is what the whole fucking process was for. And Elton Brand, who is on the shirt, is, like, grabbing some of Nick Foles' big dick energy and making these, like, ballsy ass trades and saying, like, we're going to go get Jimmy Butler. We're going to go get Tobias Harris. We're going to make this draft night trade, like, even before I was hired as the GM. And it's just like, let's go. Like, this is the guy that we're not going to be soft. And, you know, Danny Ainge has been sitting on his assets and telling mother to let him play with his dolls. And that's fine. But we got Elton Brand, and he's going to go get some fucking big time pieces, and we're going to beat Danny Ainge's fucking ass. Let's go. Let's do it right now. I'm not going to bed.
I love it. I do like the idea of getting Tobias Harris. I do like the idea of getting Mike Scott. I do like the idea of getting Boban Marjanovic. I will be honest in that getting rid of our remaining assets for three guys that are unrestricted free agents makes me scared to death. Sure. But you have to like it as
Jimmy insurance, as a guy that doesn't want to pay Jimmy, then, yes, then you like it. Yeah, as, well, like, all right, we get Tobias Harris, we keep him in the fold.
That's what I was, yeah, thank you for roping me back in. That's where I was getting it, in that I do think Tobias Harris as a, if we were only have three of these guys, is a more natural fit to that. Now we lose, like, the ball handler element of Jimmy Butler in a more natural wingy type way than Tobias Harris. But I'll, you know, whatever. I think it's an exciting trade. It is certainly makes the process guy in me pretty nervous. But it'll be exciting to see it on the court, I think, you know. You know, the Sixers are certainly the most talented team in the East at this point. So
yeah, at least at the pretty top heavy. But yeah, I mean, as far as buyout candidates go, what are you looking for? Like skill wise, the first thing you'd want is a guy who can defend point guards, right? I think they expect Zaire to be back soon, and reports about his jumper are like seeming to be good. But obviously, his offense is going to have a long way to go. But if you put him on the court next to some combination of the four, five guys that we have that are, you know, top level offensive players, then he doesn't really need to do much offensively. All he has to do is like guard the point of attack and stop opposing teams' point guards from gashing us like they have been for this whole season.
I'll tell you, of all the things that you talk yourself into, I appreciate all of them. I genuinely do. I feel like this season I've learned to appreciate your bright side of life view on all
Thanks.
Of them. That Zaire Smith is back and playing important minutes for the Sixers
is the thing I'm most confident in all of it. I'm more confident in that than Jimmy working, than Ben and Embiid being great friends. Honestly, Zaire coming out right away and being a very useful defensive NBA player is something I just feel I couldn't be more confident about. Obviously, who knows about the sesame allergy? Maybe somebody feeds him some more nuts. But I think Justin Patton played in the G League game. Justin Patton, by the way, now has no path to relevance on this team. He's expiring. I think he's probably just going to get traded in a day or two. But Zaire, if he plays, is going to come play in a G League game and start to work himself back in. I think he's gonna matter. I really do. I think that, you know, we'll see what guys they get at the deadline.
Well, he has to matter. I don't know about this year, but in terms of the Sixers, he absolutely has to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shake Milton breaking his hand also makes things a little more complicated. We'll get a little more Highsmith, but I think, you know, March, while the playoff seeding is shaking out, I think we're gonna see some Zaire. We're gonna see some rest for some of the other guys. I really do. The Sixers need exactly Zaire's skill set. You know, Dietrich talks about on Twitter all the time, like needing a guy that can defend guards because TJ gets exposed sometimes defensively. And Zaire is, I mean, he is that. Like, he really is. And I think he's the player I'm most excited to just see play because he's a shocking player to watch. Like, yes.
I hate to be this guy, but I am definitely looking forward to because of where I think he is in terms of like when he'll be ready. I'm very excited for Summer League Zaire Smith.
Sure.
Next year.
Let's do it.
I mean, yeah.
Fast forward already. I don't even care about the finals. Give me the Summer League. Give me the Summer League finals, baby. 8 days in. 8 days in the Vegas Heat. All right, so buyout candidates. Yep. What else? You know, if you don't believe in Zaire quite as much as I do off the bat, but like what are you looking for? Who do you, any candidates that you're excited about?
I want to be clear. I think Zaire will be, like, I'm excited for him as a player, but this year I just don't think it's realistic. Sure. I don't want to be. I don't know. I mean, who even, Wes Matthews is obviously a good fit if they're able to, if the Knicks aren't able to trade him. And the Sixers wouldn't be able to trade for him now in that he has $18 million on his deal. And I don't think, like, unless they traded Fultz or something, I don't even know how they would make the salary work. So that's going to have to be a buyout guy. I don't know. They need wings. I mean, a wings or a point guard who can a level up point guard from TJ. Those would be the two things. But I don't know who even is going to be on the buyout market that fits that. Zach Lowe said that Pat Beverly could be had for 2 second round picks.
I think if they were going to, they wanted Pat Beverly, I think they probably would have tried to go get Pat
right.
Beverly.
Yeah, I forgot. Same team. Yeah. I don't know. Who are you thinking about?
I don't know. I like Wes. I've been talking about Justin Holiday for a while.
Yeah.
I would love Garrett Temple. I think that's a guy that would be a really nice fit here. Let's see. I think there's a chance that you get somebody useful in a Fultz trade if Orlando decides to, you know, cut bait with like Terrence Ross and you can make that work. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. The Lakers traded Svi Mykhailiuk and a second for Reggie Bullock, who is not a great defender, but is a good shooter. And so that's starting the, like, what's that going to cost to upgrade the guard spot?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Those are the couple guys I'm thinking of. I think Garrett Temple is, like, just, like, a good switchy veteran presence. I like that he also got in, like, a big fight with Omri Caspi. That seems fun and volatile. Maybe him and Jimmy will probably have, like, some words with each other in April. I just need the drama. I'm just used to it so much. We are another Sixers pick broke his hand and we barely even mentioned it.
Yeah.
This is how it goes. This is who we are. But I think they are going to be active. I would guess one more trade and then a buyout or two for sure. And the Sixers can offer once again, this thing I hadn't thought about, but like not only can the Sixers offer the most for like most playing time for buyout candidates, whether that's Wes Matthews or whoever.
They can offer the most money.
Well, they can offer the most, but also like look at what Ersan and Bellinelli, as much as I do love bringing them up, they both got paid this last offseason. Like they both got like pretty big contracts for guys on the wrong side of 30 who are probably washed. But because they had like a good 20 game stretch with the Sixers, now they were like, you know, very coveted in getting their probably last contract or so. So if a Wayne Ellington or any of those kinds of guys looks to the Sixers and says like, I'm going to go there because these guys just got paid and it's going to be fun and we're going to win and maybe go to the finals. Like that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Well, I think while a lot of teams can offer them the league minimum, I still think they have that Bielitsa money. Like I think they have a $4 million exception to offer if they want to. So they can offer more money this year.
Bielitsa, who Ben Simmons repaid for spurning us with a nice dunk at the beginning of that Kings game.
I think that's the first time Ben Simmons has dunked on anybody, and he waited for Bielitsa, which is the fucking most right decision anybody has made with the Sixers in the last several years. All right, I got to go get ready for work, and you have to go to bed. What a world. And here's the other good thing. We're not going to have a game without any players because the next game isn't until Friday, and you would think that our new guys are here by then, and maybe we'll re-sign Corey Brewer by then too. So. Yeah.
Let me ask you one question.
The whole gang could be here.
One question. One. You've been listening to Zach Lowe's podcast, I imagine?
I never listen to when he has like NBA players on, but I listen otherwise.
I think I'm losing my mind listening to Zach Lowe talk about the one beer he's going to have after the trade deadline is over. And he's just really, really likes talking about the one beer. That I'm so looking forward to the trade deadline being over and I have my beer. It's like, what year is it? How old are you? That this is just my single beer that I will be digesting slowly upon the trade deadline ending. Couldn't have it while the trade deadline is happening. That's crazy. Imagine how disoriented I'd be with sips of beer in my system. Come on, Zach.
I feel like this is you doing my bit.
The one beer stuff just got me. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. He hasn't shut up about it. We get it. You're going to have an alcoholic beverage a single time.
Well, it goes very well with, you can't take a break from this league. You know, like, my wife, she looks at me because I'm looking at my phone and, you know, it's a trade deadline and I go away for 1 week and, the league just, it never stops.
That I get. My critique is specifically beer related.
Okay. Well, you opened up a Pandora's box for me of other things that I'll complain about. We will be back Saturday after the first game of the Tobias Harris era.
If they trade Fultz, do we do an emergency podcast?
Why not?
I think so too.
Okay. Yeah. But then do we have to do a podcast on Saturday too? We probably do.
About the Tobias Harris era. Yeah. We're back to six podcasts a week. We're fucking playoff mode, baby.
Oh, and the playoffs are only 2 months away. Oh, Jesus Christ. Why do we do this? All right. We will be back on Saturday. I cannot express how well-timed this podcast was. It could have been timed any better. It really couldn't have been.
Yep. It's we'll a shame that the last fucking Landry Shamet play is that horrible offensive foul call.
Yep. Terrible call.
I think that they would. They would have won that game if either of the Embiid and Muscala had like open threes to cut the deficit to four. And I think if either of those go in, they win that game. I think momentum was on their side. They just couldn't get that last one.
All right, we're not talking.
All right, that's fine. Game's over.
We'll be back on Saturday. Yeah,
we're in the finals, baby. Let's go.
Are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know, lick face.
We are the murderous pair. That with the jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then with the hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have power to push. Now I smoke pounds of the push. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. True runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight. Copying of uppers and downers get done. I'm in a rush to be numb. Dropping 1,000 ain't much. Cup on the clouds on a missile to try.